Well, this morning we are finishing up a sermon series where we have been looking at Jesus' most famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. And we've been traveling through this sermon, and today we finish up with a passage of Scripture that comes right after the Beatitudes. It's a passage where Jesus compares his disciples to two very ordinary things, light and salt. And this is what he says. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its saltiness, how can it be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and they may give glory to your Father in heaven. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me once more? Have thine own way, O Lord, have thine own way. For you, O God, are the potter, and we are your clay. Amen. Well, just about a month ago, I had one of the more awkward experiences I've ever had in ministry, which, of course, is saying something. We were finishing up a sermon series on forgiveness. It was a Sunday morning. And in order to cap off the series and add a little flourish to the message, we decided to do something different in worship. We pass out slips of paper, and we ask you to write down the name of one person you needed to forgive. Didn't matter who. Could be a friend, a family member. It could be yourself. And then during the closing hymn, we invited you to come bring those slips of paper forward, to leave them right here at the altar, because we were going to gather them up, take them outside, and burn them as a church family. It was going to be a symbolic act. It was a sign of letting go of the pain of the past. That was the plan. But of course, things don't always go according to plan, do they? You see, the fire burning, it worked decently well at the 8:15 and 9:40 services. You guys did okay. But then the 11 o'clock service came. And I stood up here and I invited people to come forward with their slips of paper to hear at the front of the sanctuary and to leave them here and to let go of the pain of the past, and no one came. Awkward. Now, I shouldn't say no one came. In truth, three people came. I went up there and put my name in. The person we planted in the congregation to break the ice came up here and put her name in. And then finally, towards the end of the hymn, a retired pastor who I think was feeling kind of sorry for me came up and put a name in as well. Three people out of almost 200 in worship responded. Now, during the benediction, it took everything I had not to stand in front of that 11 o'clock service and look out and say to them, "You liars! There is no way you are that much better than I am." To be honest, I was disappointed. Now, believe it or not, we put a lot of effort into making that service happen. We had volunteers who stood outside in the rain all morning tending that fire. We had three prayer teams after each service to pray with someone just in case they needed a little bit more support. I emailed the fire marshal to ask if it was okay. Yet despite all that work, it just didn't work. Have you ever been there before? You know what that's like. You pour yourself into something you care about, some cause, some mission, something greater than yourself, only to have it blow up in your face. Now, do you know what it's like to sacrifice your time, your talent, and your treasure because you believe it is the right thing to do, but when it's all said and it is all done, you have very little to show for it? Have you been there before? When that happens, we're all left with that same haunting question. Does it matter? Does any of this that I really do really make a difference? With that, I take you back to our scripture passage this morning in the story of the Sermon on the Mount. You see, Matthew tells us the disciples had sacrificed everything to follow Jesus. They had left behind family and jobs. They had left behind security and comfort. They had given everything they had to give. And why did they do it? Because deep down, they thought it was the right thing to do. They gave their time. They gave their talent. They gave their treasure. But the truth is, at this point in the gospel, they had very little to show for their efforts. In fact, despite the disciples' best efforts, the world was pretty much the same as it had always been. Poor people still needed to hear good news. Blind people still needed to see. Oppressed people still needed to be set free. In John's gospel, Jesus had told the disciples that they would see greater things. He told them that they would see heaven opened up and angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man, but of course it hadn't happened yet. All that work, all that sacrifice, and at this point in the gospel, it just wasn't working. You know, I saw an article recently that said last year, 62.6 million Americans volunteered in some capacity. That means as a country, as a nation, we gave 7.8 billion hours of our time helping other people. In fact, did you know the nonprofit sector alone makes up a $2 trillion chunk of our economy? 1 in 10 people work in it. But let me ask you, all that effort we've been putting into changing the world around us, is it really making a difference? Are you sure? I mean, last I checked, the U.S. still imprisons more people than any other country. I'm pretty sure there are about 40 million people in our country still in poverty. 1 in 3 Americans is still obese. Those aren't great numbers, are they? So how should those 62.6 million Americans feel about their volunteerism? You know, sometimes despite our best efforts, it still feels like we just can't make a difference. You know, I'm not going to lie, when I left church that Sunday after the forgiveness sermon series, I was disappointed. Now, nothing had gone wrong in the service, but it didn't feel like a whole lot went right either. In fact, it wasn't until the next day that I realized how wrong I was. The message I received from the church member had a subject line in the email that said this. It said, quote, "Keep this for when you think you are not making a difference." And so I read the email. "Dear David," it said, "for years I have wrestled with my son's death. I've grown deeper in my faith, but I've never been able to let go of the anger I felt towards the person who sold or gave him the drugs that caused his death. Yesterday, October 20th, was 5 years and 6 months to the day of his passing. And for the first time, I asked God to help me forgive this person. Now, I do not believe that I've come to forgiveness yet, but I have taken the first step. David, I want you to know you have changed one life. Thus, you have changed the world. I know the world faces massive challenges, and they can feel overwhelming. But the fact is, you did change the trajectory of just one life, my life. Therefore, you have changed the trajectory of the entire world. Remember this. The next time you think the world is beyond saving, remember this. When you ask, did I make a difference? Remember. You are the light of the world, Jesus said. So let your light shine. You are the salt of the earth. So let others see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Yes, on that mountainside, in this sermon, Jesus tells his disciples this. He tells them that what they do matters. He tells them that they are, in fact, making a difference, whether they realize it or not, because they are salt and light for the world around them. Salt and light, those are instruments of change. Salt and light, well, those are two things that just don't leave things the same. Don't forget, just a little bit of light, well, that can illumine even the darkest of rooms. Just a little bit of salt, that can melt even the coldest of winters. And just a little bit of God's kingdom, that can change a life. I hope you know that what you do matters. And I hope you know that you are, in fact, making a difference in this world. That pot of soup you made for Family Promise, it matters. That drywall you put up for Habitat for Humanity, it matters. Those prescriptions you collected for the More Free Care Clinic, they matter. And no, you don't always see the results right away. But they're there. You're changing lives. And just changing one life, just one life, it changes the entire world. You know, not long before she died, Mother Teresa spoke at the National Prayer Breakfast in Washington, D.C. She was introduced that morning by being told she was the greatest woman in the world. Of course, she dismissed that introduction by saying, if she were, in fact, the greatest woman in the world, you would expect God would have made her a little bit taller. She went on to say this. She said, I am nothing close to being the greatest woman in the world, but I will tell you the greatest thing about my life. I've been able to be a tiny pencil in the hand of God, someone through whom God has written love letters to the world. Yes, you are the light of the world, Jesus says, so let your light shine. You are the salt of the earth, he says, so let others see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. You matter. Yes. Don't ever question that. You are making a difference whether you realize it or not, because God has chosen you. God has chosen your life to be a tiny pencil through which he will write love letters to the world. And poor people will hear good news. And blind people will see. And oppressed people will be set free. Remember this. The next time you think the world is beyond saving, remember this. The next time you ask yourself, did I make a difference? Remember. Just a little bit of light. Just a little bit of salt. And the world, it will never be the same. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Will you pray with me? Loving and merciful God, we give you thanks that you have taken our ordinary lives and you have done something extraordinary with them. You've taken our days, our weeks, our months. You've used us, O Lord, to bless others. Help us never to take that privilege for granted. Help us never to forget you've invited us to be light and salt and to change the world. Amen.